big rocks and all that sort of thing.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
No.
Yeah, but then you won't know if it's recorded.
Oh, no. No, I do, because the jaggly lines come up.
Okay, right. Well, on your head be it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, oh, there you are. Where have they been, John? Yeah. Here, we've been here, haven't we? We've been here.
Has there any time passed, I feel like?
No. No. There have been quite a few messages saying, you know, one said, have we gone our separate ways?
As if that would ever happen.
Well, musical differences.
But I mean, we'd always reunite, wouldn't we? We'd be like some of the people we're going to talk about.
Ah, indeed we would. Can I just say, before we go any further, I haven't seen my old mate Johnny James Hotton for a few weeks. You look about 10 years younger.
I had my hair cut, that's all.
Is that all?
Probably.
But my hair's very short too.
Trimmed my beard.
Oh, yeah. Well, I trim my beard, and I've got shorter hair than you. Yeah. Not on my back. Anyway, look, there's been a bit of a gap for
technical reasons.
Technical. What did you say about bands when they come off tour having a well-deserved break of about nine months? Well-deserved.
Yeah, yeah. AKA. Couldn't stand the sight of each other for a single day more.
Which brings us neatly to the hot news of the moment.
We've got to get a podcast out. Now we can podcast again. We've got to get a pod out on this.
On the dealer.
Yeah, the dealer. The single greatest hair metal, potentially heavy metal band of the 1980s. Certainly the producer of the most stories and ridiculous
better stories
fun.
Than music, to be honest. More great stories than great music.
By a mile.
Yeah.
And they've done it again.
They have.
They've done it again.
They are the most amazing band in the world for this. They lead the way.
They do. Just when you think, you know, they've done it all.
They do more.
They do something else.
They do something you did not see coming. Shall we spell it out?
We speak, of course.
Of
Motley Crue, my favourites, my all-time favourites, my old favourites, my old friends.
My old favourites, my new favourites, my favourites.
Not musical favourites.
No, don't be ridiculous. No. But they're not about music.
They're not about
music.
They're an entity. They are
home sweet home.
They are a rock and roll entity.
They are
what rock and roll should be. In the modern age of snowflakes and so on, they come again.
Yeah, here they
come. Here they come again with their bullshit.
Like a laser beam into the flakes of snow.
Yeah.
Actually, they remind me a little bit of like Kiss, in the sense that, you know, that there's a couple of songs you really like, but there's no albums you could sit through the entirety
of.
I'm
sure we did a podcast where you sat there and said, I've just listened to Girls, Girls, Girls.
The album.
And I said, all the way through? And you were going on about how you liked it.
The song?
No, all the way through with the song.
I still sing it. What is it? The crazy horse in Paris, France.
I don't know.
That's all these strip clubs they used to go to. They're all real ones.
Is that what it is? Yeah.
Don't tell me.
That's what the song Girls, Girls, Girls is about.
That's amazing.
I never knew that.
Don't tell me you never went to the Crazy Horse in Paris, France.
I didn't, in Paris, France.
Well,
no.
You missed out, my friend. Yeah, you call yourself a Crue fan.
Yeah.
So anyway, the deal is...
Well, the deal is they've been on tour all summer.
What do you mean all summer? We're in April. All summer?
Whatever's just happened
in America.
A few months, been on tour with Def Leppard.
Yeah.
And I think the last time we podded, we were pondering the arrival of their guitarist, John Five.
That's right.
Who's a pal of Nikki Sixx from days gone by.
We're all pals.
They're all
of
pals
Nikki.
These days.
Apart from, apart from,
you know, 79-year-old Mick Mars was no longer transpired. Was no longer up to the job.
Expired.
Yeah, expired.
Bob Deal,
yeah,
the dealer.
The dealer. You know, he's known around
reputationally
here.
The best musician in the band.
Yeah, was his band.
That's why
he is still in the band, because it's Motley Crue is his band.
Well, to recap, because we did do a pod on this.
In ownership terms, at
it least. Was announced that he would be quitting the band touring, but would still be involved going
would
forward
still retain
in
his,
albums.
Retain his shares. Yeah, and they've not made an album.
And they're not going to make an album.
Let's say, was it...
We
was
don't
it,
need an album.
I think they've not made an album since 2009.
The
so
Eagles.
Saying they're not making an album, saying I'm around to make an album, I mean, it's like, you know... I don't know. It's like me saying, oh, I'm around to write a book if you want me to. But no one wants me to, you know.
Oh, John, that's not true.
No, but I'm just
you're a big star now in the cricket firmament. Of all, and there are so many, many great authors in the cricket realm, such as...
Well, all of them.
All of them.
All of them.
Where
all
would you begin?
Guys. Yeah, where would you stop? No, I mean...
So
Mick says, look, I'm around to make an album if you want to make an album. I can't do the shows. I'm not up to the shows. But the crucial thing I want you to know is I retain my financial interest in everything you do.
Right. Well, I mean, that wasn't how they... I mean, obviously, that's what was agreed amongst themselves. But that wasn't the public facing... The public facing statement was because of his... chronic illness,
which he's had for years, ankylosing spondylitis or something,
which is what?
Or something. What is that? That's what it is. It's a sort of. I think it's to do with the connective tissue.
Oh, that's right.
So you know that keeps you supple and able to move, and it particularly affects your back.
Right.
So it can, you know, it just means you sort of stiffen up.
Yeah. Of course, it was hard to notice with Mick because he wasn't.
He wasn't a big mover.
He wasn't a shape thrower.
He wasn't the kind of guy you think you associate with movement. Mick Mars.
No, he was hardly Yannick Gers, was he?
No.
He was more of an Adrian Smith.
Yeah.
Like
Or like a Tony Iommi, you know,
just stand there.
Producing riff after riff.
Statuesque and ominous.
Yeah.
So what they said was, okay, so he can't tour anymore. Poor guy. He's got this dreadful thing. So he can't manage the rigours of touring anymore. Yeah. However, you know, he's still a member of the band and you know...
it's his band.
He'll be working... You know,
his band. It's
he'll
like,
be
yeah.
participating in albums, even though there won't be any albums. Yeah. And now it turns
he'll
out...
He'll be... Yeah, go on.
Now it turns out that the band have decided that in effect... Means he's left the band.
Yeah,
which is hard to argue with.
Yeah, because he isn't in the band.
Because he's not in the band.
Yeah.
But the real sticking point is that the deal they offered him was 5% on all the money we make from the tour. Now, I tell you what, mate, I'd have bitten their arm off.
Yeah, because it transpires the amount of money they're going to make from the tour, quoted in Variety magazine, the amount of money they will net, not gross, net from the tour is $110 million.
And is that just ticket sales?
I think they were guesstimating that it was, right, it was so their manager
merch,
was guesstimating. Yeah,
merch.
They will walk away. They once they've you know paid all their costs and all of those things, they will walk away with over $100 million.
So 5% of that would be...
go on, you can do it. You can do it.
$1 million.
Well,
no, it's got to be more than that.
No, what I'll do is I'll give you 5% of $110 million, Mick. How much do you want? I'll give you five. This is what Don King used to do to boxers.
$5.5 million.
Is that what it is?
No, I don't know. Hang on.
If it's 110... Right. You're right, you're right.
Take
you're
away
right.
a zero.
Yeah.
That's 11 million. Half of that, which would make it five, would be 5.5 million.
Yeah.
For doing fuck all.
For literally not going on tour. What they're doing is they're giving him $5.5 million to not go on tour.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, again, it's like boxing where they get step-aside money. You know, when they want, so-and-so wants to fight with so-and-so, but there's a guy who's the mandatory. So he says to him, you can have 2 million for just not fighting me. He goes, yeah, I mean, that's the kind of boxing I could participate.
I could get in the ring with Tyson.
Yeah.
Tyson Fury for that.
Not get in the ring.
No, what I mean is you could not get in the ring.
Yeah.
Not get in the ring.
Oh, it's Tyson Fury v. Mick Wall this weekend. I'd buy that. I'd like to see that. He stepped aside. You're fucking joking.
Yeah, that would be fight of the
Mick
century.
Mick Wall stepped aside again, but he's in shape, you know.
He's been working towards it.
Yes.
Tyson Fury versus W. Mick Wall. So that's my new name, you know.
What, Knockout Mick Wall?
No, W. Mick Wall.
Wanker Mick Wall.
Wow.
He then goes, because negotiating, you say no to the first offer, don't you?
So they
lowball you, you know they're lowballing you, so you both expect him to say no to that. Fair enough. He says no. They come back with the figure
7.
They probably
5.
Wanted to offer him in the first place.
7.5.
Which
is actually a 50% increase.
Yeah. It's another $2.5 million or whatever.
Which is about $8 million.
Yeah, so he's now getting $8 million not to go on tour. Yeah.
Sod all.
Yeah.
So it's become very complicated and
well, no, so he says no to this. This is the he says no, he wants more than that. He wants because the way the band is, it transpires, the way the band is structured financially, each of the original members own 25% of the band.
Right.
So you're saying, Nikki Six, you're Tommy Lee, you're Vince Neil. Yeah, and let me tell you, Vince is worth 25% of anything. and you're Mick Mars.
He's 25% of the reason I would be there.
Yeah, he's at least 25% of it because of the contribution that guy has made over the years.
And there's more of him these
there
days.
There is. You get
there's
to
more
see
more of him.
Yeah, there's no danger of not seeing Vince when they're on stage.
Unless he's not there.
Yeah.
You would notice if he wasn't there.
Exactly. Mick, okay, a few of us haven't necessarily noticed he's not there. Vince, you would... You know, because if you hear Vince, you know he's there. And if you see Vince, you know he's there. That's okay. So he gets 25% for that. So they all get 25%. And that's 25% of everything.
Right.
So everything the band generates.
Right.
Whatever. Yeah. However that is generated.
Yeah.
Mick goes, no, well, obviously, if I get 25% of everything that's generated, 25% of $110 million is mine.
Yeah.
That's his position.
And I don't know who muddied the water first. But because the story has now exploded everywhere, so you're kind of reading bits slightly outside the timeline. I'm not sure who threw the first punch, but
yeah,
they came back and said, look, listen, you know, he had to go.
Yeah, but look, let's cut to it. What happens? Nicky's got his mate in, hasn't he? That's what's happened.
No, you're missing a vital part here. Hang on, we'll get to that.
Yeah,
because I love this bit. Okay.
Yeah, no,
they said Mick Mars could no longer remember the chords that Nicky would often have to show him.
Yeah. That's in rehearsals. This is when they're rehearsing.
He'd be playing the wrong song.
Yeah, but
somewhere.
When they're on stage, yeah. This is so in rehearsals, he can't remember how to play the songs when they're warm up. And then when the tour starts, the tour that he was on, the last one he was on, he can't actually remember what song he's supposed to be in and play. My response to that is, were people phoning that tour going Mick Mars was playing the wrong song?
Yeah.
No.
You see, I thought that was a D7th
exactly.
solo of Dr. Feelgood.
Yeah,
but
and he played...
Actually, he played something else.
Yeah, something else. So what? To the answer to that is, so what? You know, Mick Mars wrote it. He can play it how he wants.
Yeah. Agreed. But also, he then hit back spectacularly.
Yeah.
I mean, he had his own version saying Nicky couldn't remember.
Well first of all, so they lay this on Mick in great detail, don't they?
The dealer
is told. Where's the quote?
The dealer is dealt from the bottom of the deck.
The dealer...
Speak into the mic, John.
Well, yeah, I'm just trying to find the quotes.
The complaints go from, he interrupts too much, to, I can't fucking hear him.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that.
Of course,
but
you do.
Motley Crue did was they got their crew, the CREW crew, the people who technically put the gig on, the road people.
Whose wages they pay.
To say, yeah, actually, it's true, Mick couldn't play the songs. And every night we used to be like, whatever, whispering, Mick, you're supposed to be playing Dr. Feelgood at the moment. And you're playing, yeah, whatever.
you're playing nothing but a good time by Poison.
Yeah, you're actually, yeah, you're playing the...
And the dealer's like, but they ripped me off. I can play any Poison song you like, mate.
Yeah. The dealer's playing the wrong notes and all of that. But at the same time, what else is... what else is happening on stage?
Well, according to Mick...
Yes.
According to the dealer, who deals back four aces, in my view...
Yeah.
He says, oh, I played a few wrong chords and blah, blah, blah. These guys barely play at all.
Yeah.
He reckons Nicky, it's got to the stage where he's basically miming. And the other, I mean, I don't know how Tommy...
And I mean, miming, okay. Well, Mick, at his advanced age, and having played for many years and having all the conditions he has, you know, and having been out of it for at least, 40 years. I mean, he's been on a different fucking planet, let's be honest, right? He's finally... can't play all the songs all the time exactly right.
Yeah.
But that's on guitar. Like, that's got six strings. That's the lead instrument of Motley Crue.
Mm.
I mean, you think of Motley Crue, it's like, not that they've got keyboards or something. They've not got Rick Wakeman in the background playing.
Maybe they have these
stuff.
Days.
Yeah, maybe they have these days. What they've got is bass, drums and guitar.
Mm.
And the most important of those things is the guitar. So, like, what Mick's actually saying is, Nicky Six, not that he can't play a really complicated instrument like the guitar, that he can't play the bass.
On a Motley Crue song.
I can't play any instruments, but I'm pretty sure I could play the bass.
One finger, mate.
Yeah.
We both went wrong. See, neither one of us could play that.
No, but if we... But that doesn't matter in Motley Crue.
It didn't matter, did it? Everybody knew what we were doing. Everybody started to rock. Heads began banging.
Yeah.
So, I love all this. I love all this. I love it that they only got seven crew members to
testify.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's all they've got in the whole crew, you know, on the road.
Well, you don't need that. You mean, they've only got bass, drums. did he say that Tommy can't play? But what he did, I don't know if he said Tommy Lee couldn't play. Because Tommy can play upside down.
Well, he used to be.
Tommy
able to.
Can do it all.
Yeah, go back 35 years. Yeah.
He could. Yeah, but I mean, has. Look, okay, so here's the. Robert Long, who's worked with Mick Mars and the band for 16 years, which in the context of Motley Crue isn't that long, is it? 16 years. That's not the working for them in the glory years.
No, no.
That's not like you work for
album.
Them. It's not like you work for them in 1987.
Yeah.
When they were the biggest band in America, you know, and Mick Mars was the main writer, or not really.
Back when he became Fat Vince.
Vince was Elvis. So he's played with them for 16 years. He says of Mick Mars, he would consistently miss notes, play out of tune. I mean,
how would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Everyone plays out of tune on stage, especially back in the day before auto-tune and tapes and all of those things.
Personally, I just took it for granted that Mick Mars had been missing notes and playing out of tune since about 1983.
But, I mean, a guitar's an actual instrument. It goes out of tune. You know, I mean, you can just tune it up, put it in a guitar rack, it'll go out of tune if you don't pick it up.
But it's different to saying what Mick is saying about the others, which is they're basically miming.
Yeah, but then says we'll play the wrong chords during a song.
Yeah, okay. Lemmy used to do that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
the last year of his life.
Yeah.
Because when I did that book on him,
yeah,
that bizarrely coincided with his death. I was looking up
at the next bit of the Mick Mars quote.
I was looking up footage on YouTube, and they were doing festivals in Europe that summer, right a few months before he died. I mean, he was driving around on a mobility scooter backstage. Yeah. And he's on stage singing Ace of Spades, but they're doing Overkill.
Yeah.
And for a while, people didn't notice. Then they kind of went, technical hitch, start again. And he was back to do that. I mean, in fairness, but it's the same bass part.
Yeah, exactly. But it's also, that's the song that's probably furthest back in his brain. You know, that's the one. It's like Mick will, you know, as the quote
the
goes
going,
on. The quote
overkill,
goes on.
Overkill, he's going, Ace of Spades.
Yeah. Which is pretty much, yeah. But as you, but as you once said on TV, everybody loves Ace of Spades.
I did not say it like a lisping.
That's exactly how you said it.
Look it up.
Look it up.
Not genre. What's the word?
Gender
non-specific. I'm okay. Genre non-specific.
The next bit of the Mick Mars quote. Forget the song he was playing. Well, come on. Which of us have not forgotten what we're doing from time to time when we're at work?
I don't know what fucking room I'm in.
Yeah,
half the
exactly.
time. I walk in the room
forgot,
and I don't even
forgot
know what
song
for.
He was playing. So what? So what? It's not Genesis, is it? It's not Pink Floyd. And if you forget something, it's actually significant.
plus, in the glory days of actual live music, and we're going to broaden this discussion out in a minute, because it ain't just Motley Crue. In the old days of when music was great, live music, Zeppelin, prime example. You went there knowing full well they could be completely shit that night.
Yeah.
Or it could be the best band you ever saw.
Yeah, amazing. Because they're actually playing.
Because they were actually playing.
And they're
playing.
Human beings. It's like...
And often wasted
exactly,
human beings.
Exactly, yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah.
But these days, this whole basically miming, dude...
Everybody
these days is basically miming.
Because as they go on, our sound technician would have to carefully monitor Mick, that would be fun, and play tracks when Mick would go off course. Now, what are they saying there? Are they saying they pressed play on a tape, or are they saying someone backstage played the guitar?
No, I think it'll be a hard drive.
Yeah.
I've told this story before, but it bears repeating. My friend Ian Jeffrey, who made his bones as a tour manager with AC/DC, he used to room with Bon Scott. And then through the years, he worked with Ozzy, Metallica, loads of people. And then on to U2 in this century. And he was saying to me once, he said, you know, the great fun with AC/DC was... Every single night, you had no idea how it was going to go. Because before Bon died, in America, for instance, they weren't a headlining band. So they were always having to go out and win the audience over. Or when they were headlining, Glasgow Apollo or Hammersmith, you don't know what's going to break down. The sound is shit here, but good over here. He said every night it was a real battle. And when they won that battle, it was a cause for genuine celebration. Yeah. He said, but as the decades rolled by, he said, this is U2, right, their last huge stadium tour. He said, with U2, he goes, and in those days, Ozzy, Metallica, he goes, you'd have to be alert the whole time. Something will go wrong.
Yeah.
He said, U2. He said, it's literally all on hard drive. You press play. He goes, you go and have dinner.
Yeah. You look at it, like the famous gigs, the gigs people look back on where something happened, you know. The California Jam, where Blackmore smashes up his guitar because he doesn't like the onstage sound.
Yeah.
And if you were at that now, that's a war story. That's a, I was there that night, that happened, you know. There loads of famous gigs where people have walked off stage or, you know, refused to play an encore because the sound was crap. And you go, and you go, oh, yeah, I was at that show. It was amazing, you know, yeah. Because that's the nature of music. That's what it should. The danger if everything's going to just be on tape?
I remember when Bon Jovi did their first ever headline show in London. It was at the Dominion Theatre in about 84 or 5, something like that. And all the power cut out, like about a third of the way into the set. Everything goes dead. And so John and Richie pull out their acoustic guitars and for the next 20 minutes treated the audience the two of them singing and playing. Because it was live and they are musicians who know how to sing and play live.
What was the old Sabbath thing of they would always be under-rehearsed at the start of a tour with Ozzy. So Tony used to do that sort of half-hour guitar solo just to make the set long enough for your ticket money. You know, that's what they used to do.
But these days, and I do emphasise this, it is not just Motley Crue.
No.
You know, I was touring with Francis Rossi, okay, status quo. How much enhancement, you know, do they need? A bit like Crue. You'd say, none.
He
was telling me, he said, no. He goes, the trouble is, if you don't use it nowadays, you sound shit.
Yeah, you sound old.
Because everybody uses it.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah.
And I remember when I saw Journey and Def Leppard at the Forum in LA, 2018, and I was there working with Neil Sean, and we were joking back, and he goes, you know Def Leppard. I said, yeah. He goes, watch them tonight, he said. Watch them tonight. See how many singers and keyboards you can spot on stage. Because there weren't any keyboards, but there were. And there were also about 100 voices in perfect pitch with harmonies.
Yeah, yeah.
It's called production. I was watching Graham Norton the other night, and they had Pink on there. And she was saying, you know, one of her proudest things is that she always sings live. She does this acrobatic thing where she hangs off a trapeze bar. Yeah. I remember saying to Linda years ago, there's no way she's singing live. But apparently that's her thing. Her thing is that makes her unique is she always sings live. Right. And I'm thinking, so what we're saying is almost no one else does.
Yeah.
And it's true. Meatloaf, his very, very last show in Canada, when it's on YouTube.
Yeah, he hits the deck.
Face first on the deck. He's doing I Would Do Anything for Love. Face for like boom boom, because he's a big fella, you know, and you can still hear him going, I would do it.
But in fairness, he might still have been doing it. Meatloaf might
no, because you
might,
can see them going,
God, yeah, God bless me. You can probably still hear him now somewhere. That guy was a showbiz guy.
Here's another one, Axl Rose.
Yeah,
look up a clip of him on YouTube on the Use Your Illusion tour. There's millions of them, and it is live. And his voice is pretty shit.
Yeah, I saw him at the funeral, the Lisa Marie Presley funeral.
Oh, that was one of the things. Well, okay, another pod. But you see them live now, or you go on YouTube and look at clips now. Motherfucker's great again. What changed?
See, so that does beg the question, what's going on with Vince Neil? Because there are thousands of clips of Vince being absolutely terrible.
On the Crue tour?
Yeah, which does give way to the fact.
No.
You know, what tapes is Vince using? Maybe there just aren't any good tapes of Vince and they're the tapes.
Listen,
the best we could get, mate. Yeah.
Well, we say tapes. I mean, again, it's all on hard drive. Even before, going back now 20 years, so hard drive isn't as easy as it is now. These days, you probably do the whole gig on your phone, you know. But back then, and again, I think we've mentioned this in the past, many singers, Stephen Tyler, have a second singer on tour because they can't hit the high notes anymore. Plus, they're 70 years old.
Exactly.
They're running around out of breath. Yeah. They're not going to be, you know.
Yeah. I mean, we expect a hell of a lot. You know, because these shows are sold on nostalgia. When you get there, you want it like 1987. You want it like them still to be young and fit and all of those things. And, you know, when Tommy would go upside down on the drums, yeah. And
do you know what I think, though, John?
Dave
I think
Lee Roth would do the high kicks and all the rest of it. And you can't.
I think, apart from some rock purists like our very good selves, I think there's a whole generation now that is disappointed if it doesn't sound just like the record.
Yeah, they probably want
to. Close as, yeah. You know?
But what I'm saying is, in terms of the appearance of people, yeah. So they're unrealistic expectations of what they're going to be like, yeah. Of what life is like when you're sort of 75, you know, Mick Mars.
I said to Neil Sean when we were talking about this again, 2018, and I said, "Well, there's got to be some, right? There's got to be some." I was trying to think of who are the great singers of all the rock bands, and I went, "Eagles." About the Eagles, you see them live, and it's and he looked at me, he just shook his head like,
"Nah,
don't be fucking naive." Of course,
because yeah.
And you think about it, you go, oh, yeah. It's like when a magician shows you his trick. It's yeah. So obviously simple.
Yeah.
But you've been
hoodwinked.
Yeah, hoodwinked and overthinking. Exactly, and he's yeah. Amazing.
Because also that's the night that you're going, you know. The Eagles in Stuttgart, that's your night. You know, that's the night. To them, that's the 100th night of the tour.
Oh, the millionth yeah, of their career.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, is Don Henley going to be at his absolute best on Desperado on the 100th show of the tour?
And the thing
probably
is,
not.
And here's the crucial part, I think, where we are now in the story. We've moved so far from they were using tapes to they're not using hard drive. Yeah. Like, he sounds terrible.
Yeah.
It's kind of built in. It's built into the expectation now that it will be amazing. Exactly.
And the other factor to bring in is, I mean, I remember that the last interview I did with Def Leppard, but they were very honest about what their stadium shows are like. And those things run to the minute.
Oh, absolutely.
You can't overrun. You can't suddenly do a Jimmy Page and extend the guitar solo in Communication Breakdown to 20 minutes because... No. You're going to get kicked off in these places because the local council will charge you $100,000 a.
But also,
whatever.
They don't want to do.
They don't want to do that. Yeah,
they're 60 years old. Exactly. They want to go home and have dinner.
Exactly. Yeah. So the shows run to the minute.
But that isn't why. That's a happy consequence.
But it helps. It helps that everything is the same.
And I'm
every
sure
night.
They will use that as their excuse till their dying day. The other excuse is we're fucking old. People want to hear the records. We can't do the records.
And also, how much people are paying for tickets. I mean, it's all very well saying, it was part of the fun seeing the gigs go wrong.
Not if you've just spent £500.
Now they're asking you to spend £500.
Or more.
Yeah, yeah. Then it's not so funny if they walk off after half an hour.
The Eagles in Hyde Park last summer, the different levels of ticket, the gold, the platinum, the VIP, extra, masterclass, blah, 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 blah.
Well, as we call them, the idiot, the fucking mug. Have you got the mug level ticket or the fucking shield fan level?
We're asking £2,000-£3,000. That's just the price. But I think this is the age we're in of complete, there's no truth, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I mean, I was talking to someone in the biz about Elton John, and we were talking about, this bit hasn't gone in the book, but I'm going to tell you. He sent his piano on tour. You know, like with Francis, it was a speaking tour.
Yeah.
Or you do a meet and greet and all this. They just sent Elton's piano on tour.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, he didn't go with it.
No. So you could have your picture taken sitting at Elton's piano.
Wow. Yeah.
And it would cost £200 or £300 a go. And it went all over the world. And the guy said, no one twigged at any point that it was just a piano they'd brought in for the day. It wasn't Elton's piano. Elton's piano is with Elton, wherever he is. This is just a fucking piano.
A piano he might have played at one.
Almost certainly never play. Yeah. And people going, hey, look, there's probably on the wall. She packed my bags last night. Brilliant idea. I was thinking we could send out.
We could go on to. We could just not go. If I can do something where I don't have to go, I'm very happy with that.
The dealer.
So the dealer hasn't gone. He hasn't got his 7.5%, and it's all ended in a massive lawsuit.
And the people that are going to make all the money are the lawyers.
But no, but now the dirty laundry is going to get aired, isn't it? Because if this is what's coming out before the lawsuit, now you're going to hear what the actual business arrangements are. And that's going to be interesting when it's legally tested. Because if you ask most people, I mean, Gene Simmons, I was, you know, a horrible man, but one of the people who was the first to seize on the nature of what is the actual identity of a band.
Right.
Who owns that kind of amorphous, indefinable thing? Well, it's, you know, what element of creation has each member put into it? Well, with Motley Crue and with Kiss, you argue, it's the original four, isn't it? Mm. It's those four. That's why people are going through the door now. No one's buying a ticket to see John 5. You know, let's be honest, they're not.
No. It could be John 6, we wouldn't care.
Exactly.
Nicky 6,
John 5, five Mick 3. You know,
John 5%.
Maybe these are the scores they get out of 10 each night. John 5, yeah. I mean, I would give him a 5 out of 10.
But
I'm sure he's fine.
I'll tell you what else, Gene Simmons, for sure, the point he would make, and I expect Axel, but for crazier reasons, but Simmons, the businessman, I'm sure would point out, listen, absolutely, Ace and Chris established, were foundational in this brand. But the fact is, they bowed out, were fired, left, whatever,
and they,
over 40 years ago. Who has not just kept the show on the road, but built this empire? Him and Paul.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing
to
do with Ace or Peter Criss.
Well, no, you say it's nothing to do with it. It's a bit like... I don't think it is. But what Gene seized on was this idea that Kiss could continue as an entity once him and Paul were long gone.
Yeah.
It would be a sort of generational thing. It would be a show. Yeah. As has happened with Bat Out of Hell.
Yeah.
Bat Out of Hell is now not a Jim Steinman thing or a Meatloaf thing. It's a touring show. It carries on. And you know, in musical theatre, I mean, someone like Tim Rice, who I occasionally play cricket against, lovely man. You know,
is that one of your neighbours?
No,
you live on millionaires, billionaires.
Roger Taylor. You know, like when you go to the
Tim Rice.
You know, when you go to the
Russ
top.
Ballard,
of, you know, when you go to the Marino. Top of a, you know, when you go to the top of a cliff, and you get one of those sort of telescopes to look out. You'd need that to see Tim Rice's house.
The reason
for that is because when you create something in musical theatre, they don't expect Tim Rice and Andrew Lloyd Webber to be there every night when Jesus Christ Superstar's on. But everyone knows whose show it is.
Yes. And I think that is definitely where we're moving towards. Yeah. But that's about as far, that's a 180 from the original idea that rock and roll was selling, which was we are not establishment. We are, you know, like the Beatles in their films, living in the same house, or the Monkees.
Yeah, but now it's
a gang. Guns N' Roses. Yeah. It was the gang.
And there was that, I mean, quite sweet but quite sad quote from Stephen Pearcy of Rat, who chimed into this debate about Mick Mars and so on, and said, "Well, when we used to be a street gang, and yeah, there was me and Robin Crosby,
yeah, called him
the king, and the king would have sorted them out. He would have knocked their heads together and all that." And you think, mate, you know, this is about millions of dollars. This is about Mick Mars's corporation suing Nicky Six's corporation. That's what it is.
And I knew the king briefly in his pomp.
Yeah,
and God bless him.
What do you call you?
The kid.
The page.
The kid.
The page boy.
The kid. No.
The king's attendant at the king's stool.
It started out him calling me sir. Yeah. And I said, oh, come on, Robin.
Come off it, Robin.
There's no need to, you know, Mr. Wall is
fine.
Perfectly adequate.
Fine, just for this interview.
No, which I'll
later make up.
Wow. You know that
because
would
I
never
never. We would never.
The fact that I went around in my first few years on Kerrang!
He didn't have a tape recorder.
It hardly ever worked.
Yeah. And you only had one.
I only had one cassette.
That's right.
I remember one night with Ray Palmer, I was interviewing Billy Squire when he was big.
Yeah.
And we were, it was like, we're up till 5 in the morning, this in tech loads of...
Yeah, you know, but you only had a... you only had a C30.
Yeah, flipping it over. An hour would go by, I'd realise, oh, it stopped.
Yeah,
you know?
Oh, just start it again.
And as I'm doing, yeah, and as he goes, oh, I can't remember where we were, play it back. I went, no, we're all good. He goes, no, play it back. I said, I don't do that.
Yeah.
I think it's better if we forge on.
Yeah.
When I did try and play it back, it was...
Yeah.
Occasionally Ray going, yeah, she had amazing legs. and that went on for years. Although the interview you are referring to, I did record, not just on cassette, but on reel to reel.
Amazing.
With Axl Rose. Yeah. I got it, baby. Yeah. And the follow-up phone call where he goes, I stand by every fucking word.
I thought you said that was... You blamed me for that in some way.
No, I didn't blame you. The spark that lit the fire was the story you happened to write in Kerrang! About Vince Neil punching out Izzy Stradley.
He did. Vince knocked him out real good.
Fucking right. Vince can fight.
Exactly, yeah.
Izzy can't fight.
Yeah, of course he can't.
He's like, oh, dude, you know.
See, we haven't discussed Vince's role in this whole thing yet.
Well, does Vince even know Mick has left?
I don't know. Because
he
Vince
probably looks
in...
around one night and goes, hey, Mick's looking good. Yeah, he must have been working out.
It's not that Vince phones it in every
God,
night.
God, no.
But, you know,
God, no. Between burgers.
Yeah, between his Vegas on his bike, isn't he, and all of that. Isn't he got
comes
a car...
on stage in a bike?
No, in Vegas. He lives in Vegas, goes around on his bike, and he goes car racing and all of that, doesn't he?
I don't know.
He's Vinny.
Vinny!
Yeah.
Fat Elvis, come and do a residency.
It gets a bit out of breath in the shows.
Right, so we're going to wrap it up because we will return to this subject. How do you think it's going to end?
I that's a really good question. I don't know because I think, you know, inevitably Mick Mars has got a case here.
Yeah.
Nikki Six, I saw online somewhere saying, essentially saying him and Tommy and John Five are writing. So that means they're probably going to make a crew album.
Because that's what the world needs.
Especially with John Five on it. Yeah, his ideas for songs.
Why would they buy... The Eagles last made an album in 2007 and it was dog shit and died a death.
So what? But I mean, Vince will have some tracks. I'm sure. If they ask Vince, he's got a few ideas knocking around.
But Vince, this song you've written, "Girls, Girl,"
yeah, it's a bit.
Isn't it not slightly reminiscent? Fuck you, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why we love them.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
How do I stop this, Fern?